Hey there, everybody. This is Will Pruitt here with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. It is June 25th, 2015. This is for the June 24th, 2015 episode of Lucha Underground. But before we get into the show, let's talk about ProWrestling.net membership. If you're into wrestling news, if you're into wrestling opinions, if you are into pro wrestling, you want to be a ProWrestling.net member. Head over to ProWrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page and get instant access to member-exclusive audio like .NET Weekly, breaking down all the news of the week, and you can bet there's going to be some good news today, or some interesting news today out of TNA and other wrestling promotions. If you enjoy quality wrestling opinions, we've got that too. We've got some fun shows like the Millennials with Attitude show with myself, Zach Zimmerman, and my own wife, Christy Pruitt, watching Attitude Era episodes of Raw in order, the ones up on the network, and reviewing them with a 21st century point of view. We've also got ad-free access to the site, the member exclusive forum that you can go into, talk with us, talk with other members. Really fun group of folks in there. Guys, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and get signed up. If you take the annual option, you can get that ish for $5.50 a month. If you just want to take the day-by-day option, or the month-to-month option, you can check that stuff out for, I think, $7.50 a month. So, yeah, all of that is there. But today, we're here to talk about Lucha Underground. So let's get into this show. We open up the show recapping the quest for the Aztec Medallions, the 7 Aztec Medallions that exist, and they're apparently all going to be decided in multi-man matches. Honestly, the internal logic to the Aztec Medallions is lacking. Just throwing that out there. It's kind of like, we need a thing where we have a cluster of matches? What are we going to do here? And they're deciding on Aztec Medallions. It's not the best story they're telling right now. It's tacked on. It's like, oh, and the other guys fight for these things. And that, to me, is not great. We saw the return of Drago was... Or Drago? Drago? I just watched the show. You would think I would pronounce his name right. It's Drago. We saw the return of Drago. And we got into the temple with Los Ryobacks performing. And they're going to play some Lucha Underground music. Vampiro's excited because we are headed down the road to Ultima Lucha. And that's what this show was about. This show was very much about hyping Ultima Lucha. You saw it with a match for the Medallions. You saw it with Pentagon Jr.'s challenge to Vampiro. You saw it with the announcement of the first match for Ultima Lucha, which is Johnny Mundo versus Alberto El Patron. This was an Ultima Lucha show, which was a good thing. And you saw it in the main event, which was for the title shot at Ultima Lucha and the final stare down. So we are definitely on the road to Ultima Lucha. And that's fantastic. And really, we saw it with the Trios Champions vignette as well. Let's get into it. We got Sexy Star already in the match, and she is going to be in this match against her former friend, Superfly. As Superfly is entering, we cut to Vampiro and Superfly doing one of those sit-down interviews, and basically, Superfly is upset because Sexy Star stole his mask. He feels like, you know, he's doing the I'm a justified heel gig where he says, yeah, well, she took it, and it's her fault, and it's all her fault, and even though Vampiro tries to say, no, that's not true, and tries to challenge him on that logic, he is still steadfast in that logic. So that was that segment. And then we got Sexy Star versus Superfly, which was not fantastic. I did not love this match. Sexy Star, when she's in the multi-person matches, a lot of times you can hide some of her deficiencies as a wrestler. You can hide some of the stuff that is not great about her. But in a singles match like this, it really, really shines through. I was not too impressed with this. And Superfly also super sexist, and he's going to put Sexy Star in her place. Oh, sexism. This was not a fun match. Superfly got the win after 2 power bombs, 6 minutes and 33 seconds. I didn't really enjoy it. We got hype for Aztec Medallion number 3 in a 5-way match that was Pentagon Jr., Aerostar, Marty the Moth, Cage, and the Mac. That was supposed to be the match. So we got the Oh, and outside we saw Drago in his dark attire. Drago. I keep doing it. Can't stop. Won't stop. And he's on top of the temple in LA doing his stuff. He had nunchucks, so that's cool. Way to have those nunchucks. Pentagon Jr. comes out to the ring, and he takes the microphone from Melissa Santos, who is still nervous around him, which is a really great touch. It's running through. And Pentagon Jr. said he doesn't care about a medallion. Well, yeah, we don't even know what they do yet. Like, are they power coins? Are you going to be able to morph with them? What's the point of the medallion? Like I said, the medallion story, not well-defined. And Pentagon Jr. saying, meh, I don't really want one, doesn't help things. But Pentagon Jr., he's not interested in a medallion. He wants something more valuable. He wants a match that can, you know, prove to his master that he's great. He wants a match, you know, he's the only luchador with zero fear, and he wants a match with the man who took away his greatest sacrifice, I believe being Sexy Star, because he wants a match with Vampiro. Vampiro just kind of looked at him. Pentagon Jr. walked up to the announce desk. Vampiro took off the headset. And Vampiro, you could tell he wanted to fight, and the crowd was into this. Like, the crowd in the temple was really into it. And lights were low, spotlights were on these guys, so it wasn't about the fans being into it, but you could see Vampiro, you know, Vampiro had some intensity about him. One of the things that took away the intensity was Vampiro's beer gut hanging out. Like, you kind of start to get into it, and you're like, hell yeah, I want to see this match. Yeah, let's go. And you start to get into it with the fans, and then Vampiro unbutton, you know, you see how tight his shirt is buttoned, and he starts to unbutton it, and you're just like, dude, come on. I mean, he's an announcer. Like, he doesn't have to be in shape, but when you're looking forward to an athletic contest between these guys, that does take away from it a little. But the drama here was good. The referees came out. Rick Knox was among them, sending, you know, kind of separating the guys, sending Vampiro back to the desk, trying to take Pentagon Jr. to the back, and Matt Stryker sent us into commercial. Matt Stryker welcomed us back to the show after the commercial and said, you know, Vampiro, you're back. You calm down. Well, what's going on? You know, mentioned to us that Pentagon doesn't want to be in the match and it's going to be a four-way now. And all through this match, Vampiro was kind of like nervous and tense, and you could tell he really wanted that fight, but he wasn't going to do it yet, and it's not time, and he's not going to do it. So then we got Aerostar versus Marty the Moth versus Cage versus the Mac. I'm pretty sure Marty the Moth, like, I have nothing against comedy characters, but he seems like a waste of space here. Like, I don't understand what his role is supposed to be or why. It's just pretty pointless. And I don't say that to be mean to the dude, but he looks out of shape. He looks bad. He's not particularly great in the ring. Yeah, and this wasn't a particularly great match. You got some power spots from Cage, obviously. You got some of the Max freaky agility. You got Aerostar doing his high flyer stuff and working a lot from underneath. And you got Marty the Moth there as comedy relief. But it wasn't a great match. It was just kind of a cluster of things happening. Add in that it's for an Aztec medallion of some sort. And I'm really, really not enthusiastic about it. You know, it's just a match to me. And it's just a collection of moves. Aerostar ended up getting the win with a top rope Frankensteiner on Marty the Moth. And then his, like, finisher, just a springboard splash off the ropes for a win. 9 minutes, 6 seconds. Kind of a meh match. Like I said, it's not that it was particularly bad. It just didn't feel like it mattered all that much. We found out that Drago versus Mil Muertes with the Ultimate Lucha title shot would happen after the break. And then we went to commercial, came back, and the Trios champions, Son of Havoc, Ivelisse, and Angelico are backstage. And this might have been, aside from the main event, the best thing on the show. It was interesting. You had them kind of backstage. They were training. So Angelico is standing on his hands with, like, his feet in ropes, and Son of Havoc and Ivelisse are boxing. And Son of Havoc is trying to get Ivelisse to keep her hands up, to defend, all of that. And they're very serious. They're about to get into it. You know, they're arguing because they're bickering partners. And Angelico tells them that they got to get serious. They need to do it right now. And then Katrina rolls in and, appears out of nowhere like she does. says that death is coming to the three of them, and it won't be stopped, and she got real close to Ivelisse, and Ivelisse just looked, like, unfazed. One thing that Ivelisse does well is kind of badass spitfire, and it might be because she's, from all accounts, a little too much of one in real life, at least spitfire, but she just looked intense. Adder, it was really good. John Moore from the site said hot lesbian action was teased, and that's not true. It wasn't really teased, and yeah, not everything's got to be sexual, Johnny. Katrina held up the piece of ruins from the home of Mil Muertes, and the Disciples of Death appeared out of pure electricity behind them, which was kind of strange. They had appeared from smoke before, and now it's electricity. Not the best post-production effect there for a wrestling company that spends a lot and does a lot with post-production. The camera kind of panned away as this happened, but it pans back, and Mil Muertes is standing there. Like, the Disciples of Death, all three of them fused to become Mil Muertes. Like, Mil Muertes actually breaks apart into three dudes when he needs to, and then becomes one when it suits him. And Mil Muertes walked out. The Trios champs were left laying, so it looks like at Ultima Lucha we're getting the Trios champions of Son of Havoc, Ivelisse, and Helico versus these three Disciples of Death guys. I like Mil Muertes. I like Katrina. I'm not a big fan of the Disciples of Death yet. It is not really catching on with me. We got Drago out in his full cape, coming down the stairs, all of that. And before the match, we got Hernandez, who pulled a Rick Rude and was on two of the four Wednesday Night Wars shows in one night. Hernandez came down and beat up Drago, took him out, and left the temple. Kind of interesting. Marty, we went to commercial with Hernandez taunting Drago. Referee Marty Elias came out. He's talking with Drago. He wants to see if he can still go. Drago said yes because he's a babyface, and that's what he does. And Mil Muertes came down to the ring accompanied by Katrina. And we've got Drago versus Mil Muertes in our third match of the night for a Lucha Underground Aztec Gold World Heavyweight Aztec Championship. I have no idea what they call the thing. I just kind of throw in the word Aztec a few times and hope I'm getting it right. Match at Ultima Lucha. So one of these two guys, they're going to go on to face Prince Puma for that title at Ultima Lucha. This was fun. It was a lot of Mil Muertes power and Drago trying to get the upper hand on him. Trying desperately, trying to use his speed, trying to use quickness, trying to use some reversals. And Mil Muertes is just a beast, a powerhouse. And much like in the match with Phoenix that he had after coming back, Mil Muertes, the resurrected Mil Muertes, he looks unstoppable. He is a big, thick monster. And it's fun because I thought in the first few weeks when they had Mil Muertes sell and Mil Muertes kind of stopped looking unstoppable real quick into his run in Lucha Underground, I worried and thought, man, this dude should, look at him. He should be no-selling everything. He should be like The Undertaker. He's dead, for gosh sakes. And they have fixed a lot of that with the death and resurrection of Mil Muertes. I sound absurd saying that. Well, it works. So this was, they went all over the ring, and Muertes, the story was Drago hit him with everything he had. He tried everything, and Muertes just kept coming back, and it was like he was beat, but then he came back at full strength. And the announcers told that story well as well. I've got to say, Matt Stryker's grown on me on this show. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I'm enjoying Matt Stryker and Vampiro and the work that they are doing. Finally, we got Mil Muertes hitting his flatliner for the victory in about 9 minutes and 20 seconds to get the Lucha Underground Championship match. Katrina came into the ring and licked Drago, because that's what she does. And Katrina and Mil kissed in the middle of the ring. There was taunting. And then from the entrance at the top of the temple, the babyface entrance coming down the stairs, you had Prince Puma coming out and with Conan, and Conan stopped Puma from going all the way down the stairs, and Puma stood on the stairs, raised the title. You had the stare down between the men who would meet at Ultima Lucha. That was pretty cool. And that ended the show. Strange things this week include not seeing Dario Cueto, really, at all. That amazed me. Nothing new about Dario Cueto's monster brother, the murderer of B-Boy, my favorite wrestler right now because of the murderer of B-Boy. Still love him. There are certain things that I think are working. I think they're telling the main event story with Puma and Mil Muertes really well. I think they are doing well right now with the Vampiro and Pentagon Jr. story. I think there are some really good things happening. I also worry about some things. The Disciples of Death, not catching on with me too much. Sexy Star, not really, you know, Sexy Star and Superfly, not really connecting on the level that I had hoped they would. The continuous use of Marty the Moth just confuses me. Yeah, really, really strange. Let's get into some questions that I had from .NET member GDT1985 that I have ignored for weeks. First question, do you think it is possible for a performer to actually portray Matanza and that they've built him up as more monster than man? And that is something I'm wondering about as well. I want to see who this guy, you know, who they end up getting. You know, you would need a giant type of person, right? You would, I think, John Morin answering may have mentioned, like, El Gigante, you know, kind of someone like that, someone that's massive, someone that towers over people, someone that is frightening when you first look at him, and that is true. You need someone like that. I want to see how they continue to visually present Matanza slash Dario Cueto's monster brother and get a feel for who I think and what I think it could be. I don't think it's impossible, but I'm not sure how you do it. I don't have an idea for how you do it. Second question. GDT has seen that it costs between $600,000 and $700,000 to produce an episode of Lucha Underground. As someone with experience in production, me doing theater and kind of knowing what it costs to put lights in the air and all that crap, do you understand how that figure is possible? If it's true, it seems really high, but I know nothing of television production costs. And television production costs is a big thing. I saw when I went, actually, this, when I went to the taping for Ultima Lucha, when I attended that, that was something that I was kind of wondering about. And you have to realize, they took a warehouse, gutted it, and then rebuilt their own structure inside of it. They built a structure, and I'm guessing a lot of it was in rentals, because, you know, it's since been loaded out, basically. But you're buying rings, you're buying all of your lighting equipment, all of your camera, you know, you're talking about renting cameras, you're renting spotlights, you're renting cranes to put everything up, you're renting a lot of stuff for this show. So I do see how you could end up spending $600,000 to $700,000 when you add in all of these rentals. You're talking hotel costs for the talent, you're talking booking the talent, you're talking paying production staff, and then you're talking about post-production, where obviously they have very talented people working in post-production on this show. So you are really discussing a lot of money being spent on making the show look the way it does. So I do see how that figure is possible, and there's just a lot of equipment. They built a TV studio in a warehouse. That's amazing. And it's a really cool place. I'm really hoping that they end up, I'm really, really hoping that they end up taping in LA again. And of course, the question he asked today, hey, I'm getting this one on time. Are the matches performed as we see them, or do they reshoot if they need to? I went to one taping, so I can't say exactly what they do. I know there, no one yelled cut, and I didn't hear any stories of anyone yelling cut and interrupting a match as it was happening to get a spot again. I do know, I mean, they edit them. There is some editing in post-production, which might be, that might be what you are thinking about. Like, is there anything that is changed, or, you know, they do twist some things, so the wrestlers, if they're crafty, can go back and work around some stuff. They can cover up a bad spot with camera angles or creative editing. They can make things look better than they do that way, or just cut to commercial, or, you know, oh, here's a shot of Katrina and you don't see Mil Muertes botch this, and oh, look, oh man, he killed him. I definitely think they could do that, and that's part of the advantage of not being live, is that you can cut around things that way, and they should cut around things that way. That's what they are supposed to do. The idea is to make the wrestling look the best that it can, and I think Lucha Underground does a good job of that. But no, no one's yelling cut, no one's resetting spots, no one's doing anything like that during these matches. For the most part, they're happening as they occur. Like, you are seeing what the people in the temple are seeing. Some stuff might be cut for time. I'll get into that with Ultima Lucha, because that show ran longer than the 2 hours that it was, and it wasn't just time between matches, which they did have a significant amount of. But I plan on talking, there's a non-disclosure that Lucha Underground makes you sign to attend their tapings. They don't like spoilers getting out, and I honored that because, heck, I want to be invited back, and honestly, I don't want to spoil the show for you guys. Like, I want you guys to discover this. I've worked really hard to keep those spoilers that I do know out of what I'm saying, but I will get into a lot of stuff with Ultima Lucha when we do the Ultima Lucha audio review. I'm going to talk a lot about the live experience of going to that show, what I saw, what stood out to me about it. So many things to discuss there. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I do this weekly. We do a lot of shows weekly that you need to be listening to. Get that .net membership and have a great week, everyone.